So this is Parsha Vayigash. This is a dramatic one where all of Yaakov and his children go down to Egypt. They settle in. We know it's going to end up in 210 years of slavery and misery. They don't know that. They think they're all going down to Egypt to meet Yosef. Dramatic ending of the movie. So Jacob came to Egypt, no longer feeling, oh, we know that. But in that, it lists all the names of Yaakov's descendants who are coming down, and part of that list is Serach, that Asher. They Asher, Yimna, Yishvah, Yishvah, Bria, those are sons of Asher, Serach, Achotam, and Serach, their sister, Bnei Bria, Hever, Malkiel, and Bria actually was old enough to have children of his own, Yaakov's great-grandchildren. We've talked about Serach, but Asher before, a couple of times. Most of the context of the Agadot that she lived forever. She lived for a long time. She was the one that told Moshe where Yosef was buried. She's the one that told Bnei Israel that Moshe knew the right words to say. She's the one that told the Amoraim what the Yom Suf looked like. That she became the symbol of what we call the Torah Timecha, the mimetic tradition. This is the one who actually taught each generation what it was, what it meant to be Jewish. And that's the consistent theme of all these Midrashim, for instance, in Sefer Yashar, Levarach Yaakov at Serach, that Serach was the one who told Yaakov that Yosef was still alive. We know this, right? She was playing her kinor, that Yosef is alive. And Yaakov blesses her, Deborah, Devrima Ela, when he told her these things. And he said to her, Biti, Al Yimshol Mavet Bach Adolam. My daughter, you will never die. You have brought my soul back to life.
Well, what is the Sefer HaYashar? Is that...
That is an obscure collection of Agarata mentioned by the Ramban.
But it's like the time of Chazal? Like, it's the time of
most of these collections of Midrashim, they're medieval. They're from early Rishonim, time of early Rishonim, but certainly reflecting older Agadot from before. Like, Beit Rabbah is like year 1000, but still mentioning all the Amorim from well before that. So there are other places where it mentions this idea. And the other thing is that when the, like, Midrash in Mishlei talks about Pia Pacha B'Chachma, one is her mouth is open with wisdom. Serach, but Asher, she's one who has the one who speaks with wisdom. And you might go through all these. You can look at previous here.
And the spelling,
I just saw that.
Serach with Samach goes back and forth.
Okay, but it's clearly the same person.
Yes. So 2 years ago, I talked about the Agadic side of it, and you saw the sources here as well. I will just mention here, this is Rav Soloveitchik, in one of his eulogies, talks about the importance of sort of the Serach side of the Mesorah. It's a field B'dorah Shal Moshe, even the generation of Moshe, B'dorah Pla'im, she gets in Mitzrayim, when the generation that had seen all the miracles of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Shere Marot Elohim B'Sinai, that had the revelation at Sinai, Kibbutz Torah, even that generation that got the Torah, Shrichim Hayu L'Dimut Kaduma, they needed this older image of Serach bat Asher to be able to Yashva b'Chekos Shal Saba, who in her youth sat in her grandfather Yaakov's lap. Direct testimony. That's the image of Serach bat Asher who lives forever, and that's why she's mentioned here. I'm not going to do that now. We're looking for more of a pshat perspective. Okay, what is Serach doing in our list of the names? There's a partial list of all of Yaakov's descendants who come down to him. And there's 70 names in that list. As that's the last line is Bnei Yosef, Ashulo, Mitzrayim, Nefesh Shnayim, that Yosef had two sons in Egypt. Kol Nefesh, the Beit Yaakov, Haba Mitzrayim. So all of those in the house of Yaakov who came to Egypt, Shivim, were 70. And of course, if you add the numbers up, we know this, you only see 69 descendants. You know this, right? The Midrash says that Rashi quotes says that, well, Yocheved's not on that list, but she was born as they entered Egypt. But Ibn Ezra says, Pshat is that includes Yaakov. Nachom be'enai, she Yaakov b'cheshvan be. Yaakov is one of those 70. Yaakov and his children. That's the Beit Yaakov. Lumei Yachel, that's what Sarfuk. Yomar kol nefesh banavu b'natav im nafshel. That's all of it. It says all 70, including them. But if you read the text, there are only two women in that entire list. There's Sarah, who we mentioned before, right? Usher, the only one who has a daughter. And then Dina, Yaakov's daughter. She's mentioned in this list here in our Parsha. Elibri Leah, Sheyodol Yaakov, Haran Aram. The 18 Abitel. These are the sons, and plus we had Dina. Kol nefesh banav v'natav shoshim v'shalosh, a total of 33. From the house of Leah. So I did the math. Right, Yaakov has one daughter, 12 sons. Probability of that, the p-value of that, of something that of only having one daughter or fewer out of 13 children is 1 out of 585. You gotta pull your Pascal's triangle out, the binomial theorem. Okay. Which
like a half
is pretty
times
unlikely.
A half times a half.
Yeah, so it's 2.
Right, you 13, multiply, right?
13, right, times, well, times.
It's like 1 over 2. Yeah.
Well, yeah, 13 factorial divided by.
Factorial, right. Two, that was on the tip of my tongue.
Factorial times 11 factorial plus the probability of 1 of 0. Okay, but the probability of only 2 or fewer daughters out of 69 descendants is 1 out of 200 odd quadrillion. So the fact that in this list of 70, we've only got two women, and explicitly excludes the wives. Okay, this is actual descendants. That seems pretty seriously unlikely. So this is kind of ironically, this is one of the places where the drush, you got excited, but is more realistic than the pshat. Pshat lists the names, two women. Drush says, Rabbi Tan Darshu, in Kol Shevet Nodat to Uma, that there were unnamed girls among that list as well. They're just not in there. In Benjamin, no that to Amaya Tera, and then the wording there, it says, oh, there's an extra girl born with Benjamin. So Yaakov has all these children in the course of 6 years. They must have been multiples. So there must have been girls among them, but they're just not named.
Well, he says twins, the same number of girls.
Right. So that's what Midrash say is an actual twin there.
Yeah.
Even, but just from a realistic perspective, I don't know if there was exactly the same number. But to say that there was 12 boys and one girl, and even more so with the grandchildren, but there are 9 minus 13 is 50, 55 boys and one girl, pretty unlikely.
I don't have a problem with the one girl and 13 boys. I mean, Abba, in our family, we're 6 girls and no boys. So, impossible.
It happens. Right. Again, that's 1 out of 500. We can do that. That could happen. Once you
1
get
out of 500 is not a problem.
Really, really. Yeah, 1 out of the 240 quadrillion is
right,
really
right.
It to me, when I would read it, the pshat is that just counting the men. That's all.
Okay.
Why is that
right.
So?
But it says Benotav, doesn't it?
But then you have to ask what's Sarah doing in there.
Well, so doesn't it say Benot? Doesn't it say Benotav?
Yes, it does. So that's the other side. Oh. Of it, is that the text is, okay, this is, the, all right, when Yaakov, when Yosef is lost, right? All of his sons and his daughters. That's plural. Even though we only have the name of one of them. They were trying to comfort him, but he didn't want to be comforted. So what is he called Benata? So Rashi brings both possibilities. He wants to bring the drash here about the Achayot Tomot, right? Called Benata, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Achayot Tomot. There were the twins who were born with him, so he had more daughters than were listed. Okay, and they're just not named.
Right.
Let's talk about why they're not just named. Which again is realistic. And Mr. Medrash, but again, I would say that the shot of what does the text say, that's just, it doesn't mention that. There's no there. But Nehemiah Omer, Ma'akov and Otav is Kalotav, is his daughters-in-law.
It's also good.
And at the minyan, may the crow chotano, b'no l'chol tobito. Because you certainly could call your son-in-law your son, your daughter-in-law your daughter. That's normal. So b'notav is his daughter-in-law. Yes, he had 12 sons, one daughter, but he had multiple daughters in the sense that at this point, some of his sons were married, so he had his daughter-in-law to try to comfort him. Similarly, in this week's parsha, when they're going down, it talks about his daughters, plural, and his granddaughters. They're going down to Egypt. They took their cattle, their property, that they got in Canaan. They all come down to Egypt. Yaakov and all of his descendants, he took with him, Banav, his sons, Bnei Banav, his grandsons, he took with them, Benotav, his daughters, plural, Benot Banav, and the daughters of his sons, B'chol Zaro, and all of his descendants, Hibi Yitom Mitzrayimah, came with him down to Egypt. The Rashi on this has to say, Benot Banav, his granddaughters, bringing in the idea of Yochev. Benot Banav is Serach Bat Asher, that's what who's actually listed, that's the granddaughter, and Yochev Bat Lady, who's not listed. She's part of the Medrash. That Yocheved, who was born to Levi, was born as they entered Egypt.
Oh, this is not the early Yocheved. This is a granddaughter.
Yeah, Yocheved's mother, Moshe.
Yeah.
This is Yocheved, right? Who's not Egypt. The Medrash says about that. This is Rashi reading that number 33 about the descendants of Leah. When you count them up, there are only 32 names. Elzu Yocheved is the 33rd one who's not named. Is Yocheved Chonoda ben Achamot, who was born as between the walls as they entered B'chnei Satan La'ir, as they came into the first city in Egypt.
Oh.
Rashi is going right. Rashi wants to take this semi-literally, B'natav, that he has two granddaughters born out of all of these 69 descendants. But I'll look at this here again.
She also lives a very long time.
Yeah, so it means that Yocheved lives a long time because Moshe is 80 when they leave Egypt 210 years later, which means that Yocheved must be at least 130 years old. He gives birth to Moshe.
Okay.
According to this, again, this is a guy. There's nothing in text about when Yocheved is born. I mean, the times they're all living into their hundreds still. But I'm not going to go there because I'm going to go in a completely different direction. We're going to explain Serach here. And these Benotav, is his daughters, his granddaughters. This is an Etziv who says, no. Surely he had more granddaughters than were listed. They must have been born, not mentioned, because they're only mentioning the men, as Phyllis said. Because we are very androcentric religion. This is an itziv. Benotav benot banav. Here's Rashi Yocheved v'Serach. So Rashi says, not talking about the plural there, granddaughters, is Yocheved and Serach. Yocheved not mentioned. Not anywhere hint that she was born. But apela lomar. And it is just too weird to say. Shabbat Yaakov lo hilidu kulam rak zacharim lo nekevot. Too weird to say that Yaakov's children only had boys. Every single one of them, nothing but boys. The whole list, nothing but boys. Elanira, it appears to me, the gan hema holidu harbei nekevo, that no, they had must have had plenty of girls as well. Elashlo hayu bechlal shivim nefesh. They were not part of the 70 nefesh that went down to Egypt. Lo'od, and more than that, eladiyago atzmo hayu lo'od banot, minashav. That Yaakov must have also had other daughters besides Dina. Because like it implies before when it says a kumakol banav kol benotav.
Does it say that?
It said when they're consoling Yaakov, we quoted that.
When
Yosef, 20 years before, when Yosef is lost, they're all mourning and all of his sons and daughters try to comfort him. Okay, plural, benotav. They must have been daughters, plural. Elishlo nisru b'shmam, that they're not mentioned by name. Mishum shloi by hem. Inyan Nogel Uma Yisraeli. Because they had no effect on the nation of Israel. there, that's the claw that the tziv is telling us here, that, you know, throughout the text, the only ones that are named are ones that had an effect on the story. Girls did not. You know, Kamosha Ira al yedei Dina. Dina was part of the story, so she's mentioned specifically. We have the text, we mentioned the other ones. They're gone. They have no effect on Jewish history. I jumped ahead. But I'll be tama. And you shouldn't say this is just too strange, right? That you can't quote say that Tiv is too radical or too academic for saying these sorts of things, that there are more people here than are mentioned in the Torah. Sorry, Gamba Avram Abinu. According to Abraham, by Abraham, we know had one son, Ishmael, one son, Yitzchak, and that's the only son by Sarah. But Ika Tana, there is a Tana who says, in Gemara Baba Basra, we'll quote, Shehaita lo bat, he actually had a daughter.
Oh.
And that daughter is not mentioned in the Torah, Mishum, so Yatsa Mimel Zikarom B'Yisrael Daro. She's not mentioned because she had no effect on Israel in the future generations. But now Yaakov Avinu, so too must have been here. So look at this example of Abraham, because that's important. It's Gemara Baba Basra. When it says, Tanya, Hashem Berach Abraham Bakol. Right? Abraham was blessed with everything. What is everything? So I'll quote Rabbi Yehuda first. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shehaita lo bat. Everything means that a son, he also had a daughter. Not mentioned. Rabbi Meir Omer, what was the bracha Berach Hashem Bakol? Shelo Hayita bat. Because he didn't have a daughter. That's a bracha. I just can't say that. Right? He was blessed with, you know, those of us who have daughters know that daughters are nothing but a bracha. What does that mean? That the bracha was he didn't have, one possibility is that the bracha is he didn't have a daughter, and this is the Ramban. There's Rabbi Meir, Shlo Haita Lo Bat La Ram. Right? Rabbi Meir says he didn't have a daughter. The Zillo Bracha, that was his bracha. Why is that a bracha not to have a daughter? Because where is he living? Lo Haya Yachol Hatia Rak Lubene Kanana Arurim. If he had a daughter, he would marry part of the Canaanim. So, or if she goes back, like Yitzhak gets a wife from, you know, Aram, anywhere else, Gam Kain Tavod Shem Avodah Zarek Motam, she would be part of that culture. Ki Eisha B'Rishut Ba'Allah. And that's the critical line there. That's a social reality. That the wife would have joined the husband's family. Abram had a daughter. He would have married out, whether he had any daughters or not. They would not be part of that Klal Yisrael. They'd be lost. That's what it means. They don't have any, as he puts it, lo yatabi men ez yikaron b'Yisrael adorot. That's what happened to a daughter. Avram lo yachpot siyete zaro hakasher misara ishtok kuta la'aret. That Yavram certainly would not want his children wanted to Sarah to leave the fold. Bafti Avodah Avodah Zarah, let be worshiping Avodah Zarah. So that's an Itzia's understanding. The daughters aren't mentioned, because if there were daughters, they'd be marrying out and they'd be lost. Whatever daughters he had, did not have descendants who ended up as part of the Jewish people. They did marry, and you know, the grandchildren, they could have married their cousins, but they'd be part of their husband's tribe and family. They'd be part of that group. The only people named the Torah are those who have a story that needs to be told. So you want Hayabahim Inya Nogelu Mayasri, as the Messiah puts it. So we have the 12 tribes who have their stories, but these grandsons that we're mentioning, all the other sons, they're not part of the narrative. We don't see what they do, they're just there. But they're worth mentioning. Because the granddaughters, because the Torah is writing this from the perspective as they're, 250 years later. These are the ones who are going to found the families that are going to leave Egypt, they're going to enter Eretz Israel. So when the Torah says, Kol Nefesh, Beit Yaakov, Abba, Mitzrayim, Hashivim, this 70, it doesn't necessarily mean they're exactly 70, because 70 is just a 70 is a symbolic number. It's the number of families in Israel that corresponds to the numbers of the nations of the world. This is the way the Emek Damar puts it. The picture, and you shouldn't question me when I'm claiming that you must have had plenty of granddaughters. That there were 70 that came down with Yaakov. The clear were more than 70. Assuming he came down with at least some daughters. Some of them may have married out, but at least the minors were still there. These 70, that these 70 is the number corresponding to the nations of the world. As it says in Hazino, where Moshe says that before he dies, out of the Shira, Hanchel El Yon Goyim, when the Almighty gave the inheritance to the nations, when he split the nations up, Bar Haflaga, Tower of Babel, Yatzev Gvotamim, set the boundaries, nations, Mispar Bnei Israel, corresponding to Bnei Israel. And we have the symbolism of 70 families of Israel, 70 nations of the world. That's our job, to be kind of the teachers of the world. We, Bnei Israel, this little group that's going to correspond to the world as a whole. That's what 70 nations. So we have 70 names that are going down, and those 70 are the ones that will found families as they come out. So we have the same list of names of all these descendants of Yaakov, Parsha Pinchas, that final census before they enter Israel. This is in Bamidbar, by the Ber Moshe, Elazar Kohen, Itambar, but Moab. So Moshe and Elazar, Aaron's son, talk to Bnei Israel. I brought Moab. They're about to enter the land. Yadin Rechol Lemor, on the banks of the Jordan. And they count the Ben Hashem Shana, Malak Hashem Tiva Hashem, Moshe, Bnei Israel, Yitim, the Eretz Yisrael. They're counted from the age of 20 above, the way they've been counted when they left. And it starts Reuven Bechor Yisrael, Bnei Reuven Chanoch, Mishpacha Chanochi. So instead of being Chanoch and Palu, it's Chanoch, Mishpacha Chanochi. Now it's Chanoch, the ancestor of the Chanochi family. Palu, Mishpacha Palui. Palu is the answer to the Palui family. Those who have Le'ela Techlecha Aretz, Benachalav, Mispar Shemot, every name corresponds to a Beit Av that would inherit in the land. So that's what these names here, there's 70 there, those are the names. Gradually, Yaakov mentioned they're the future of Bnei Israel. So now, we say that, okay, the reality is, the husbands found the family, that's what their families are named of. But Serach is still in the list. Serach is in the later list also. Serach is mentioned as part of the list of the families that went into Eretz Yisrael. Bnei Asher l'mishpachotam, right? The families of Asher, the Yimna mishpachat Yimna, Yishvi mishpachat Yishvi, etc. And Malkiel Melchachem Malki'i, the shame but Asher Serach, and the daughter of Asher was Serach. She's in this list. 250 years later. That's why Rashi says she was still alive at this point. That's Midrashic. In the Mishpachot of Bnei Asher, these are the families of Asher, listed to him, according to their count. 53,000. And in Divrei Yamim, we still have Serach in this long list of genealogy. Bnei Asher, Yimna, Yishra, Yishra, Bria, Serach, Nachotav. Serach's part of that. The implication of this is not that Serach lived for the hundreds of years, but that just like all these other grandsons were the patriarchs of a family, she was a matriarch of a family. She had a name family, Mishpacha Sarchi, and that's where the Ramban looks at it. She's listed here because she actually started, was the head of a family, the Ramban. Okay. So again, not Midrashic, but Pshat, that she started a family, Tikral Shema, that was called on her name, the Tikanes Bechlal El Mishpacha Bnei Asher L'Fudehem. That one of the families of Bnei Asher were the Mishpacha of Serach, which isn't completely impossible.
That phrase Mishpachat Hasarechi is yours?
It's not it. Mishpacha Hasarechi is, I just made that up. It doesn't say.
Okay. Okay.
All it says is Mishpacha Machri, Mishpacha Zedera, and Mishem about Serach. It's worded differently.
Uh-huh.
Which warrants attention. The Ramban talks about that. I'm not going to get into that. I'm calling her family Mishpacha Sarchi. There was a section of the Asher that was called the Sarchi. And we see something similar by Aesop's descendants. Okay, Aesop, you know, if you look at the long list of genealogy by ever Aesop, which nobody ever reads because nobody cares about Aesop. But like the list that Aesop, one of his Aesop's wives was Aholibamah, one of his daughters-in-law was Timnah Pileges Eliphaz, and you look at the Alufim, this is halfway through the Perek, later, the Alufim that were, looks like the Shvatim, the tribes of Aesop, includes Aluf Timnah and Aluf Oholibamah. The Alufim named after the women as well. But for Serach, it's even more radical, because the women in the Esav group were ones who had married into Esav's clan. So we expect them to be part of Esav, why their clans are named after the mothers rather than the fathers is a separate question. But if we're saying it's right, then Serach's husband, the answer of her children, was not from Zerah Yaakov. He must have been someone else, Kenani, Amori, wherever he was from. Serach overcame the implication of that, of this, the idea that Aisha Rishut Ba'Allah, bring her family into Klal Yisrael. Other daughters, anyone else would have been absorbed into the man's family. That's the way of the world. Serach pulls them back into Klal Yisrael. And they remain part of Klal Yisrael throughout the Shibud Mitzrayim. So that's really why there's only one out of all of these. Most of the daughters involved married their husbands, became part of their husband's family. Sarah pulls them all back in there. Can't all fight the zeitgeist, I like that word. The spirit of the times. But being able to do that makes all the difference. And I like the quote from Bernard Shaw. The reasonable man adapts himself to the world. The unreasonable one persists in trying to adapt the world to himself. Therefore, all progress depends on the unreasonable man. And that's what Sarah was. She clearly was unreasonable, and therefore could remain part of Klal Yisrael. And Avraham's great grandfather was called Avraham Ivri, because he was willing to go against everybody else. Ivri on the other side, Olam Kulo Me'Ever Achad, the whole world on one side, Hu Ve'Ever Acher, Ever Achad. He's on the other side, and Sarah was the true heir of Avraham. He's the one who's on the other side. He says, no, I'm going to keep my family in Israel. And the Midrash makes that connection. So this is a different Midrash. Not about Terach as the one who remembers the past or past the tradition. But this is connecting it to the story at the end of Sefer Shmuel when there's a rebellion. Sheva ben Bichri is trying to overthrow David. Okay, you know the story. And then they go out to fight him, and Yoav is trying to arrest Sheva ben Bichri, and they're having a siege against the city where he's hiding. And they have a siege in the city of Avela, in Macha, and they build a road around the city, and the army is in there and by the outer wall of the city. And all of Yoav's people, Mashkitim, are trying to destroy La Pila Chama and knock the wall down. They're going to wipe everything out. But Dikra Isha Chachama min ha'ir, and a wise woman calls out from the city, Shimu Shimu Imru Na El Yoav. Listen to me, go get me Yoav. General. Father, hey now, you come here. I'll talk to you. She negotiates with Yoav about this, and she says, Anochi Shlumi Emunei Yisrael. I am Shlumi, one of the faithful of Israel, Atam of Akesh Lamit Ir, you're trying to kill the entire city, the Embi Israel, the mother in Israel, Loma Tibla Nachalat Hashem. Why would you want to swallow up the inheritance of God? You can't kill everyone here. That's the Isha Chachma. But it says about this, this was Serach Bar Asha. Taking it serious, but literally, this is in the spirit of Serach Bar. This 70th is Yeshua Serach Bar Asher, Shlimi Imahim at the Minyan. The Serach Bar Asher completed the count of those who came down to Egypt. Which is why it says that Tikra Isha Chachmar Meir, Mar Lah Man At. So Yoav asked her, who are you? You Isha Chachmar, you wise woman. Amra Le Anochi Shlumi Umune Israel. I'm Shlumi, the faithful of Israel. Because now Shlumi means I'm the one. Shishlamti min yonan Yisrael Mitzrayim. I completed the count of Israel who came down to Egypt.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't supposed to be part of that, but I made sure that I was one of those who stayed with Klal Yisrael, midrashically.
Is that the only way to read that Shlumei is her name? Because it could also, you know, Emunei.
You know, read it as I'm one of the people of peace. Right? You're making war. Yeah. I'm here. I'm peace. You know, our city is peaceful.
It doesn't look like a name. It looks like, you know, Shlumei Emunei. You know, those are parallel. Not that her name is Shlumei.
You really read the chat as I am one of the peaceful ones of the faithful of Israel.
Right.
He's arguing with Yoav, don't wipe out the city. You know, you're just asking after one person.
Right.
And kill all the whole city for one person.
But nevertheless, it's clearly a woman, right? A Tikra Isha.
Right, she's an Isha. Right.
Yeah.
And she is identified as being Sarah here.
Right.
Calling out, right? Again, in this, you know, calling out in a man's world and winning. And the Gemara connects this to Abraham. The Midrash Tachuma connects this. When Abraham said, well, Abraham's arguing with Hashem about Sodom. You can't wipe out the whole city. What about all the righteous people? He says, Chalilah. God forbid. Amar Abraham. Abraham says, Yibono Shel Olam, oh God. So Fani Baruch HaKodesh, I can see my prophecy, ki atita isha achat, the palet ir shlema, that one woman will save and complete a whole city. And you won't let me argue for these five cities of Sodom here. Is it isha? What woman is he talking about? Sarah, but Asher, that was Sarah. Isha, Marad Shevem Bichri, but David, Baba Evel, when Shevem Bichri rebelled, he ran to the city of Evel. Ra'achach matashel isha zu kishem sheba Abraham b'chachmal te'akash baruch hu, that the wisdom of this woman was the same as Abraham's. Arguing for the justice here. Aleh makalei Shlomo, and that's what Shlomo, and that's what I argue in the Tanakh class, is that this story about the siege of Evel and Sheba ben Bichri was important because that's what Shlomo saw. And that's why Shlomo prayed for Chachma, because he saw the power of that. And he says, You didn't hear when we did that.
I don't remember this Isha Chachama Shlomi.
Yeah. So that was a couple months ago. About this whole story.
You could have been there, but it's better for me to say I wasn't there.
If you look at Kohelet, Perek Tet, it has the story of a city that was saved by a wise man, and it was not mentioned, but his bottom line is, Tova chachma mechle krav. Wisdom is better than weapons. Tovaita chachma tashel serach mechle krav shahaya biyan Yoav. That the wisdom of Sarah's character here was greater than Yoav's army. She defeated him by her arguments. Hmm. All progress depends on the Sarachs of the world. We're willing to say, no, this isn't right. I'm going to do what's right, despite the fact that everyone's going the other direction. And so I will end this, saying that I'm not qualified to make this a feminist theme shear, but you feel free to do so as well. About being a woman in a man's world. I would say something simply, Sarah is being the unreasonable, and therefore is the one that makes progress possible.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know one girl named Sarah. It's not a name. Do you know anyone, Daviva? Sarah?
No, but you'd think since she is like this hero. I mean, right. You would have.
Yeah, and she's a hero in so many different midrashim.
How come no one's named Sarah?
I don't know why. I don't know. We'll go for it. You can suggest that to your kids and grandkids.
I have two pregnant.
Or Shlumi.
That's a little.
Well, we do Shlomi, which I guess is pretty Shlomi.
I don't think that's Shlomi. Her name. That's not her name.
You want to read that? At, you're right. Shot is not as a name, but as.
But
a,
it, title. It's like a weird conjugation, though, because it's smichu. So it's like.
But so is emunah.
Yeah, but one tikkun is normal, but two is like a little. So, shlomim shel emunim shel
Yisrael. You would put a mem there. Anofi mei shlomei emunah Yisrael. From the peaceful ones who are the peaceful of the faithful of Israel.
Okay, that would
be. I am them, not from them. I am the peaceful, loyal.
I am the people as a whole.
I am.
But then, right, shlomei is plural, shlomim. So it.
Right.
I am all of the.
Emunah, same as emunah. It looks like a phrase.
No, there
it's
Shlumei
emunah, like plonial
mooney. Yeah, this is definitely plural here.
Shlumei.
Shlumei would be better.
All right.
Right. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much,
Sarah. You know, Aviva Zornberg. Aviva Zornberg has a whole thing on Serach.
You can read a couple of things here. You know, the other old, and this, 2 years ago, I talked about sort of the midrashic side of it. You can read this source page from Sefaria here.
But Asher. Yep.
Yeah, Rachi,
it's good. You know, whenever a woman, an unidentified woman, shows up throughout Tanakh, oh, that's Serach.
Well, the Agada hates the vacuum. Anyone, any unidentified person has to be identified with somebody.
Yeah.
Right here we have the sort of the Tava Kabbalah. So, this is a whole bunch of stories about the Yosef and Hakod Yivkod and all the other things about Sarah there. Lots of stories.
About the share. Again, and just must have been unusual, special, because, yeah. So Yocheved isn't mentioned.